Vov Tammuz, Tuesday the 26th of June, Rabbi Joseph Perlman, chapter and verse, part 3.
Right, we've been working through the alphabet, Aleph Beis. On the first occasion we dealt with the parashas of the Chumash, that was how it all started. And on the last occasion we've been dealing with the letters, the osios of the Aleph Beis. That's what we discussed last time. Now we must move on to the words, how words are constructed, and the pasukim, how the pasukim tie together. And there's of course a lot of interesting things behind the tevos and the pasukim, etc. As is obvious, a word is constructed of a number of letters, and we have basically every word has a three-letter root. In fact, the grammarians, Rashi of the French school and the Spanish school, in the times of the Rishonim, had an argument as to whether, in fact, there's such a thing as a one-letter root or a two-letter root. Rashi seems to be of the opinion that every letter itself can be a root of a word and has a meaning for the word. Whereas the Spanish school, we call them the Spanish school because they're mainly like the Ibn Ezra and the people from Spain, they held that every word has to be constructed of three letters as a basic root for a word. And the truth of the matter is there isn't such a much of an argument, lemaisa, because even those who hold that you have to have a three-letter root do agree you can have defective roots, like if you've got a letter he or a vov or a yud in the root, it often gets left out. So, for example, the word kum is often kom, which is only two letters. And similarly, although Rashi might say you can find such a thing as a one-letter root, he also agrees that normally the root is constructed of a basis of three letters together. We did discuss also that even if you do hold there is a three-letter root, the first two letters are more important in the sense that they give the balance to what we're talking about, and the third letter will just change its basic meaning. So if you take the root, just as an example, the root par, pei reish, which means basically to break out, as we discussed, I think mentioned this last time, the beis is the word of creation, the beginning, boro. The peis with a p is a more emphatic form of a b because it comes from the same part of the mouth, and that therefore gives you not just coming out, but coming out with force. Now, whatever letter you put on the end of the pei reish, it'll give you a slightly different meaning, but all meaning some form of breaking out in some shape or form. So, a poro is a cow. Le faresh means to explain, bring everything out into the open. Le hafriz alamido is to exaggerate. Porach is a flower which comes out into blossom. And you could go through poram, which is to tear a clothing, and so on and so forth. So the basic two-letter root is, it's all a bit of semantics, really, but altogether what is happening is you have a word which is constructed, but it's based on a shoyrish, so to speak. And you have, in addition to the shoyrish, you have prefixes and suffixes, things at the beginning and things at the end, which change the meaning, like prepositions, personal pronouns, all those add to give you a word. In fact, according to one shita, it says the reason why it's called Lashon HaKodesh is because you can say in one word a whole sentence. For example, Vayishkochehu, and he forgot him. That's four words. That's all in the one word. And therefore, according to one of the explanations of Lashon HaKodesh, the Hebrew is concise, precise, and encapsulates everything in it, and that gives it an extra kedusha. As the Gemara says in Psachim, everyone should always use the shortest possible way to teach something. You shouldn't speak at length if you can speak much more shortly. Perhaps that's why we're restricted to half an hour in the Kol HaLashon. You mustn't go on too long. There are exceptions, obviously, where you have to explain something more clearly, or you're dealing with Talmidim who don't understand if you say it too short. But basically, there is a mila in kitzur, keeping things short. So you have the basic word, then you have bits and pieces which are stuck on at the beginning and at the end. And from this, we learn all sorts of things. Well, for example, we have limudim, which come from letters which are added on in some shape or form. The vav at the beginning of a word is a fantastic letter. You've got vav hamachalek. You've got vav which is vav hahipuch, which changes the tense. You've got vav hamachaber. You've got the vav which is moisif al inyan rishon. The letter vav is so many limudim that we can learn from one little letter which is put at the beginning of a word. And we've got the fact that the vav or a yud in the middle of a word, if it's there or it's not there, gives you the whole concept of chosa v'yesa. Chosa v'yesa means a word normally is spelt with a cholem and a vav, or a chiruk and a yud, which gives it the fullness. If, however, that is missing from the word, then what happens is the whole word is reduced in its effect. A most beautiful example of this is the word toldos. Mentioned this many times before. Toldos can be spelled four different ways. There is a medrash in the beginning of Bereishis and at the end of Megillas Rus, which says, you will only find toldos spelled tov, vov, lamed, dalet, vov, tov, that's mole de mole, in two places in the whole of Tanakh. Because it's the only time when it's sholem. What's that mean? It means that ad briyasa olam, elo toldos hashomayim voros behiborom, everything was perfect. So therefore, has two vovs in it. The toldos were then exactly as HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them. It only happened once more. And that is at the end of Megillas Rus, Eile Toldos Peretz. Peretz being the forerunner of Mashiach. Mashiach will come from Yehuda and the line of Peretz. And then things will again be perfect. So only in those two places do you find the word Toldos with both. However, if you look through Chumash, you'll find sometimes it's Toldos with a Vav at the beginning and no Vav at the end. And sometimes it has no Vav at the beginning and a Vav at the end. Now what's going on here? Well, where there is something wrong with the actual toilodo, they leave the vav out. And if the vav is in the end of the word, that's in the plurality of the word, then if it's full, it means a lot of children were born. If it's chosa, that means something is shortened. They only had a few. So now, in the case of Yishmol, you've got no vavs at all. Ela told us Yishmol. Why? Because nothing good came from his descendants, and there were not many to be worried about. So he was chosa de chosa. In most cases throughout Chumash, you'll find there's either got a vav at the beginning, Ela Toldos, which is normal, Ela Toldos Noach, a vav at the beginning, but Noach only had three kids, so he didn't have a huge family. Therefore, it's a vav at the beginning, but no vav at the end. Sorry?
He produced
the
whole world.
No, but the children that he had at the time, there was only those three children at that particular moment. All right. I'm Drush, you can always ask questions. You can discuss it. Sorry? It could also be but it's the wrong place then. It just told us with the Vav at the beginning and the no Vav at the end. So we're talking about the... We don't count his children. Yeah, but there were plenty from Shem and from Yefes as well. So he's got a good question, but you know, as I say, we've got to go weiter. You have to work on it. But now, the big question is, though, in the case of Yaakov Avinu, it says, Ela Toldos, there, in the Vayeshev, it says Toldos, and there, you've got a Vav in the plurality, because he had 12 children, he had a huge family, but no Vav in the beginning. We're talking the Shiftei Kor. What's going on? Why is there a Vav missing in the case of Yaakov? If you look at Abishim Shifor and Hirsch, he notes this point, and he suggests, it doesn't matter how good, how much L'Shem Shemayim, how fantastic people are, if there is Machloikas, it's wrong. Like we learned in last week's Sedra, in the case of Korach, once there's Machlokas, it's absolutely everything gets destroyed. So since there was machlokas between the children, or possibly the children weren't behaving quite as they should with each other, so mimela the Torah leaves out the vav in the toldos. What we're seeing here is that if the vav is in the plurality, it's giving a large number to the plural. If the vav is in the shoyrish, it's giving a more validity to the basic word. That's the principles of Chosav Yesh, and we know from through many, many places that where Chazal learn halachas, if the plural, for example, it says, are you learning about mezuzos? Why is mezuzos not written with a vav in the second half of the word? Because it could be read mezuzas. And that teaches us that you only put it on one side. Oh, there's limudim from the limudim that they're on one side, right? There's limudim from the they're only on one. But still, you need the fact that you have a vav omitted could teach us in drush at least that there's it's not as plural as you might have thought.
The first vav is missing.
Is it the first one missing? There are different gifts. If you look at Mechashiah, the different gifts.
They ask Kashas on why you say
which one.
It's not written like that.
Yeah, there's a bit shy about the exact gifts of how it's written.
Different
we've
places.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think. But there is a gifts which has got it the other way. Okay, whichever way it is, it's discussed why that vav is missing in the particular mezuzah. In fact, it's in the wrong half of the mezuzah. Yeah, okay, that's a separate thing. That wasn't prepared. I just mentioned that because I heard you talking about mezuzah before. Right. Now, the next question is the word itself. How is a word constructed? And when do we know whether it's one word or two? There's a famous Gemara in Psachim Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, which talks about words with a ko at the end of it. Words like case. Is it case your or case core? Actually, you're allowed to say the Shem properly if you're doing it in a proper way. The Sfaradim always say it properly, which is probably the right way of doing it. Because we Ashkenazim have become a bit fafrumt, and we don't say the word of Hashem in case we perhaps don't give it the right covered. And you all know the story of Keli Koku, you know, that instead of didn't want to say Eliyahu because of all the shameless, so they called it a Keli Koku. If you've got a Gamliel, we don't say Gamliel. And this modern way of putting a dash on at the end of Yeshaya, so it's Chasv Shalom, it shouldn't be read at Yeshayahu, it's a chumrah which is built upon chumras, which is probably not the right way of doing things. However, look, we've got a minute, we've got a Masorah, we do it this way, and it shows that we've got chashivas. The truth of the matter is, if you quote a full posik, you should say the Shem correctly. And that's how the Sfaradim always do it. If you see a Sfaradi comes and wishes you, they say, Todala El, he'll always say. We wouldn't say that, we say Todala Kel. Because we are more careful in, perhaps we're not the same Madrega as the Sfaradim, and therefore we're worried that maybe we will get it wrong. Why I say that is, when you pronounce words like hallelujah, is it hallelujah, which is the Shem, or is it just hallelujah? Sorry, it should be hallelujah with the Shem, or is it just hilulim harbe? In fact, there's a machlokus in the Gemara, whether hallelujah is kodesh or chol, and it's boya de lo ifshita. It's not clear from the Gemara what the final halacha is. Similarly, you've got words like kesyor, melchavyor, shalevesyor, all these different words. Do they mean just a stronger form of the word, or is it two separate words? There are nafkiminas. First of all, the obvious nafkimina is, when you have a written Sefer Torah in front of you, may you be moichek, the core part, because if you say hallelujah, well, you wouldn't find in Chumash. But if you find, for example, the word Yodo al case core. There, if case core is two words, then the core part is Kodesh, and you can't be mochik it. If, however, it's all one word, it's just case yor, then you can be mochik the whole word, because they haven't got the din of the Shem. So there's a big nafkimina. Actually, somebody wanted to say there's a nafkimina in davening. At the end of the Hallelukos, we say Koil Hanshomo Tehalel Ko Halleluko, but we say it twice. Why do we repeat it? Well, the normal answer is because it's the end of the Tehillim, the end of the real Psukei de Zimra, there's a minute to repeat the last Posuk. You find the same with Yosha, but say so if we read the last Posuk. There are places where we at the end of Oz Yoshu, sometimes some people repeat Hashem Yimloch, so very often we repeat a posuk to show finality. That's one explanation. Now, it's not terribly satisfying that we should say Koran Shoma twice simply because it is the end of Psukkot Zimra, because it isn't. We go on with Vayavarev David. We haven't said Psukkot Zimra. In fact, it's the end of Tehillim. Okay, but that, what's that got to do with the Davening? So others say that the reason why we say Kol HaNeshama twice is because you want to get 13 things. We've got in a leap year, it's sometimes there, sometimes not there. Since we've got 12 already, that's the one for each month, the Hallel for each month, we haven't got one for the Ibayot. And as the Ibayot is not always there, therefore we just repeat the previous posse. Some say that. But I think in the Kerem HaTzvi, he wants to suggest, do you know why Chazal were masaking to say Koran Shomo twice? It's because we don't know whether it's Halleluko or Halleluko. We don't know. Since we don't know, we should say it twice, one way and one the other way. Now, I don't know if anybody in the whole of Klal Yisrael who does that. I've never come across it. I wasn't taught to do it, and I'm pretty sure that most people don't even think of doing it. However, he wants to say that when you say Kol HaNeshama to Halleluko, Halleluko, once you say Halleluko, and the second time you say Kol HaNeshama to Halleluko, Halleluko, just to show whether it's one word or two words. We've seen the nafka mina whether something is one word or two words. It makes a nafka mina as to whether it's a teva achas or stay tevas, if it can make a nafka mina as far as being mechikas Hashem. It's a very, very important thing. There are other nafka minas. For example, how many words are there in Chumash? Now, what do you say? What difference? But of course it makes a difference, because every number has got tremendous significance, and the Gemara asks, where is the center of Chumash? One of the Mephoshim points out, the Gemara asks, where is the center of Chumash? For letters, for words, and for psukim. And the same Gemara tradition goes on to say, and where is the center of Tehillim for letters and psukim? Why does it not ask about words in Tehillim? The Gemara says, where is the center of Chumash for letters, Gochein, for words, Dorosh Dorash, and for Psukim, Nisgaloch? And then it goes on to say, where is the center of the Tehillim for letters, and where's the center for Psukim? So, one of the Mephoshi, I think it's Rishash, asks, but where's the center for the words? So, well, maybe the answer was that the Pasuk Yah is the same for letters as for words, therefore the Gemara didn't need to deal with it. It doesn't work. But one of the Mephoshim suggested that since we don't know Lahalokha, whether Halleluko is one word or two words, and there's so many Hallelukos in Tehillim, you'll never be able to know where the center is of Tehillim, because we don't know how to count the words. Since we don't know how to count the words, the Gemara didn't bother asking, because it knew we'd never get a proper answer. That's a suggestion, anyhow. But now we come to another sort of esoteric part of the word. Is there a significance in the shortest and the longest words in Chumash, in Tanakh? Now, I didn't have time to give you all the references, and perhaps it's a good idea that I haven't, because you'll have to try and work them out for yourself. Everybody knows that the shortest word in Chumash is Aleph Beis. You can't have a single letter. There's a possible in Hal Hashem, but which suggests that maybe that is a one-letter word. It's a shaila. But normally speaking, you can't have a word less than two letters. And Aleph Beis is, and that's why an Aleph Beis is Ov. Ov is the source. Chodesh Aviv. The word letters themselves are telling you what they mean. This is the source of everything. Av, Aleph Beis. And if you revert it, you get Bo. We've come, you've arrived, you've got there. Is it equal and opposite? Aleph Beis is the beginning of everything, and Beis is the end of everything. Beis and Aleph is the shortest letter. That's easy. What's more tricky is the longest word in Chumash. Well, the longest word in Chumash, anyone? Uvomisharesecha, excellent. 10 letters. In Tanakh, there are three words with longer letters. With longer words. One is in the Megillus Esther, the Ho'achash Darpanim, and there's two in Yecheskel, depending on the so there's a Masorah in Yecheskel which teaches us that. But very briefly, if you have a long word, then we're going to assume that it's teaching us some length to what's going on. In the case of a Mishoresech, it was the frogs. And you all know the famous Medrash that the frogs showed such Mesiris Nefesh that even Hananiah, Mishael, Va'azariah made a Kal V'Chaimah from the frogs. If they could show such Mesiris Nefesh and they're not Metzuva, Kal V'Chaimah, we who are Metzuva Osa, we should do it. So what we're seeing is from the frogs, they were prepared to go against their Teva. Frogs don't like being dry. They like to stay amphibious with liquid in water. They won't go to a dry place. And they went to the hottest place to be Mekayim, the Tzivui of Hashem, to go into all the places where the Egyptians were. And they even went into the kneading troughs, which are boiling with heat and getting themselves burnt. That's why the word is the longest word, to show that inyan of Mesiris Nefesh. And you find the same thing in the Megillah, the Achashtarpin. They went to a very, very great distance on the orders of the king. So we find, therefore, that words have a significance apart from the word itself and the Shoyrish and how it's all constructed. Even the length of the word in Tanakh has a significance. And we all know the gematria of the word will have a significance. For example, it's well known that the largest gematria of a word in Chumash is in last week's Sedra. Everybody know it? No? Oh, I thought it was a word of common knowledge. It's Sistorer. 1500. You will not find a word in Chumash with a bigger gematria than Sistorer. And that's what they were saying. Yeah. How long are you going to lord it over us? You're making yourself so big and so important, so you have the biggest gematria. That's the Sistorer. It fits in beautifully with the context. In Tanakh, there is actually a word larger in gematria. You know it? No? Once upon a time, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld came into a room. Now remember, in those olden days, before computers and before internet and before television in the beginning of the 20th century, you had Sforim. And Sforim were Yekara Metzius, difficult to get hold of. And you had a library, you were doing well. And he went into this library, and this library was full of Sforim. And Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld was absolutely bowled over by the number of Sforim there. He felt, ooh, he's come to the Gan Eden on earth, so to speak, see so many Sforim. And he said, this door, Sforim, door, communion, velachata shasta. Nobody knew what he was talking about. This door, Sforim, door, communion, velachata shasta. What he meant was, that's the word in the Tanakh with the largest gematria. There's no word larger than that. Velachata shasta. Now, there are two ways of spelling that word. In one, Daniel spelled one way, and Ezra spelled a different way. But if you spell it with two sins rather than two the samachs, you'll find it comes to 1636, some remarkably high figure. And that's to represent that the kings of Bovel weren't just stam. They were kings of the highest level, and therefore it has the highest gematria. You might say it's a bit of drush. Obviously, that what we said up to now about the length is more pshat. This, when you're dealing with gematrias, of course, it's a bit like drush. But every aspect of Torah has a panemius as well, and it's kedai to learn from everything. Right. Let's move on from words now to psukim. As we said before, the bricks of Lashon HaKodesh are the letters, which then combine into words, and then the words combine to make psukim. What is a posse? Well, a posse, we would say in English, is a sentence. However, you can't just make your own psukim up. There's a famous Gemara, both in Megillah and Tainus, kol posik lo poske Moshe anan lo paskinon. If Moshe did not make the posuk in Chumash, we can't make our own psukim up, and therefore it's forbidden for us to say half a posik. So Frektosis and Sukkah, the famous question, not only Moshe, it means anywhere in Tanakh. In that case, how can we say, Ono Hashem Hoshiano, in Hallel? Because the posuk isn't Ono Hashem Hoshiano, it's Ono Hashem Hoshiano, Ono Hashem Hoshiano. So and we're stopping in the middle. So Tosis gives an answer because we're answering and etc. It's discussed. In fact, this problem of Kol Posuk and Posuk Moshe is so full of inconsistencies. Some say it doesn't apply to Ksuvim, and some places it doesn't only apply to this place, and only applies to that place. There's all different ways of trying to get out of it. So, for example, another example. When we say, Gadu L'Hashem Ityun Romo Shemo Yachdov, no, wrong one. Hallelujah Hashem, Hashem Kizkov Shemo Levadov, Hodo Yaret. Everybody sings out Hodo. So they all ask, You can't start in the middle of a pasuk. How do you do it? So what the answer is, either you should start off your hallelujah quietly as well, or alternatively, since the chazan have said your hallelujah, you and you heard him say it loud, you're allowed to follow on. That's one of the answers. But there's so many inconsistencies in this topic. It's a topic on its own. Rab Chaim Tzanz, who's a tremendous Gaon, he says this is the one topic that he's never got to the bottom of. He simply can't understand all the problems with this particular concept. He says it's just too complicated, there are too many contradictions, and he can't work it out. That's what he says. He's one of the greatest Ge'onim in Pinchas of the Doiros, and the Rabbi Chaim Tzanz is well known, and he writes clearly, he says he cannot get to the bottom of all the contradictions in this particular topic. But okay, we'll leave it that for if he couldn't do it, we can't do it either. But the main point we're getting at is that a posuk has a tzura, and it's got to be kept as a posuk. And the Gemara in Kiddushin adds up the number of psukim in Chumash, and it comes out with 5,888. The problem is that if you count in our Chumashim, we've got 5,845. And the way to remember that is Kaminyan Hachamo. Hachamo, he stands for 5,000, Ches for 800, Memhe for 45. You remember, the Torah is as bright as the sun, so if you remember Hachamo, you know exactly the 5845 psukim. But the Gemara says the 5888. And, oh, you could say, well, maybe the Gemara also says we're not Boki, just as we're not Boki in Chaseres V'Yaseres, we don't know exactly what letters should be in words. We're not Boki in that. We're also not Boki in Psukim, so we wouldn't be able to get to the exact number of Psukim. How many there are? Because you can't get exact because we're not Boki in Psukim. But 43 out is a bit too much. You know, not Boki, so we're out by 5-10, but 43 out, that's quite a lot. And there's another problem. In Brochus and in Erevin, there's another Girsa. The Girsa is, there are 8,888 psukim in Chumash. Now that's 3,443 out. And how can you say in one place 5,000, in one place 8,000? Well, one of them, Mephoshim, quite clearly said, well, it's a toss. It really meant to say hey, and instead of the hey, the ches got there, because they closed off the top and it looked like a ches. And so instead of saying 5,888, it came out as 8,888. But the Maisa, we have that Girsa. And the Marsho in Erevin very cleverly suggests that these numbers are not necessarily final numbers in the sense that they tell us how many. They are significance numbers. It's teaching us that the Torah is a quadruple eight. That's what the Gemara means. It doesn't mean to say the 8,888 psukim. You can't get that many. The answer is there are 5,800 and however many there are. But the 8,888 represents Lemalo min ha-teva. That's what 8 represents. And as there were 4 olamas in Kabbalah, the olam ha-siyah, olam ha-yitzura, etc., etc., each of those olamas has got its place in the Torah. And when the Gemara says that there are 8,888 psukim, it means that the Torah is Lemalo min ha-teva and it's got all these olamas in within it. And that's the Marsha says that. We're not talking about some Hasidic pshat. And this is Marsha who explains that Gemara, that you don't have to change the Girsa. The problem is then, what do we do? Why do we got 5845? So somebody suggested that really it's 5845. But the Gemara adds in another 43. Do you know why? Because if you look through Chumash, you'll find in 43 psukim are repeated from Chumash elsewhere in Tanakh. And therefore, the Gemara tells us 5,888 because it wants to let you know that the psukim in Chumash are 5,845, but some of them are repeated and you can add in another 43. It's all very, very esoteric, but what we're seeing is that the psukim have a significance. Now, we're just about time because we've started 2 minutes late. I can see we're going to have the fourth one to deal with the other aspects. So let's just try and finish this psukim. Again, longest and shortest psukim have significance. The shortest posuk in Chumash. There are a number of short psukim in Chumash because they've got 3 words. And many, we say that on Motzi Shabbos in the Mizmaim at the end of... Yeah, there's the... Sorry? And it's a minute, let's say the psukim. But one is shorter than all the others. They've all got three words, but one is shorter. In what way is it shorter? It's the one with the least number of letters. So all those three-word psukim all have more than 10 letters with the exception of one. You know which one? Of Neidon Chushim. Now, why is that the shortest pasuk in Chumash? And the answer is a whole shit on its own on Don, because Don was the shvachter of them of all the shvatim. Don is, for example, you read the, all the others have many more, much more letters, or are wider. Don is the narrowest of all the letters. We know that Don was the. Was compared afterwards to Yehuda, Yidon, Nochosh, Aladarech, etc. It was compared to Nochosh. In many, many ways, Don was the weakest and the smallest, but he became the biggest afterwards. And there's a remez for that, Uvnei Don, Chushim, and the Pasuk itself says Chushim. Chushim is Chosah Chush. He hasn't got, he was blind, he didn't have the proper senses. So that is the reason why that Pasuk was chosen to be the shortest. The longest Pasuk in Chumash, well, there are two longest Pasukim in Chumash. The longest Pasuk in words, and the longest pasuk in letters. The longest pasuk in words is in Kisiso, and that's talking about before the Egel. And again, this was Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnfeld again. He was a big bucky in these things. He once forbade people to go to the Rabbonim to join in with the appointment of the first chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, because they wanted to have Balabatim as well. They wanted 100 people, 33 Balabatim and 67 Rabbonim. And Rabbi Yisrael said, nobody is going because we're not going to allow Balabatim to involve themselves in the appointment. What happened was, 33 Rabbonim listened to him and didn't show up. But 34 Rabbonim showed up with the Balabatim, and they appointed the next chief rabbi. When they came to Rabbi Yosef Chaim and asked him, what happened there? They said, well, 34 people actually did show up. He said, that's what it says in Kisiso. There's the longest pasuk in Chumash has 34 words, and these what's it lead to? As Miretsu fil, you end up with an eagle. This is how he explained why they turned up. So, in other words, this pasuk is Muramas. If you say too much, it ends up with the eagle. There's another pasuk with letters in another place. We've got the most letters in Chumash. I think it's in Voschanan, but it's late now. There is in Tanakh also the same phenomenon of the longest and the shortest posuk, which has significance. And you've also got psukim with all the aleph bays. That's also a significance in the posuk, how it comes about. There's one posuk in the whole of Tanakh which has got all the finals as well as the aleph bays. But in Chumash there isn't. In Chumash there's only two psukim which has got the whole of the aleph bays, and there's a reason for that too. But I think maybe if they let me do a part four, we're going to do it then. Square.